Morning, brethren. Hope everybody had a nice week this week. We are deep in the season of the falling leaf. Not my favorite thing to do this season, but this is my favorite season. But man, I have leaves. I've got leaves from this sycamore tree that are like frisbees. Well, brethren, I wanted to start my message this morning by reading the vision statement of the church. The vision statement says, "A church led by God's Holy Spirit, joined and knit together by what every member supplies, with all doing their share and growing in love to fulfill God's great purpose for humanity to bring many children to glory." And if you remember, Mr. Kubik read that vision statement when we watched his message, and he also talked about Ephesians 4:16 and Hebrews 2:10. Those are two scriptures you should get down in your notes. You can use those to confirm the message that I'm going to give today, a message that the study papers on the website helped me with, several concordances, and it's something that I think that we should really have embedded in our mind, because this is the vision. This is the vision of the church. What I want to do today is I want to focus on the part that said doing our share, or doing their share, doing our share. Now, we are the church, and we should know what that means. We should know what our share is. So today, I want to look at a couple of fundamental aspects of what our share is. I want to do this by turning to the book of Romans. So if you can open your Bibles and turn to Romans, and we're going to look at chapter 12. You know, the book of Romans, it's written in a couple of segments. Chapters 1 through 11 are dealing a great deal with doctrinal views of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where chapter 12 on are geared towards Christian living. And the book of Romans, for me, is, in my opinion, Paul's best work. You know, Paul knows in Rome that Romans look at power as being a physical thing, as being a military thing. In their minds, in Rome, that was what power was. And what Paul's doing here is he wants to show the Romans truly what power is. And, of course, we know Paul's speaking about spiritual power. So let's go ahead and let me get organized here just a second. Let's look at verse 1 of Romans 12. It says, "I beseech you, brethren," "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, I took this scripture all apart. I wanted to make sure that there weren't translations that may point, and especially in the aspect of your reasonable service, because that truly fits in for what I'm speaking about now as far as what our share is. To be a living sacrifice should be something that we should recognize and understand, because we're to be a living sacrifice. That's our reasonable service. So to be a living sacrifice, we have to be fully committed to God. And what that means is, at work, whether we're alone, whether we're with our spouses, whether we're with our family, and that includes whether our family's converted or unconverted. To be a living sacrifice, our behavior reflects that commitment. So I think quickly, you know, Paul is letting the Romans know here that this is, to God, a reasonable service. Romans 14, just across the page, starting in verse 7, it says, "For none of us live to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's." You know, brethren, we are bought and paid for. If you remember, Mr. Kubik spoke about that for a few minutes. As members of this church, we are bought and paid for through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And each of us, we have to account for ourselves. Another part of our share is that we need to be overcoming. And this is really the primary reason why I chose Romans 12, because this book has been such an incredible help for me in my life. A minister shared this with me years ago, and I enjoy this book. I hope that you find the value in it too, because I believe there is great value in the book of Romans. And it's a book that we should all have our nose in regularly, especially those last 12 verses. Not that we shouldn't know doctrine, but those last 12 chapters, from chapter 12 on, is about Christian living. Across the page, verse 21 of chapter 12, it says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And this is where this book is functional for us. Looking back across the page, and sometimes to make a point you have to revert back in the scriptures, and I want to do that. And I want to read verses 2 through 6. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me," verse 3, "to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Verse 5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." And then it goes on to talk about a myriad of things that go from one spectrum to the other. From a place you might be positioned to ways you serve each other. Now remember, verse 21 says we overcome evil with good. Sorry. When we begin looking at our lives, we need to find those things that bring us joy as serving one another. And I'm not talking about things that are of knowledge. I'm talking about things that are of works. And I know each of us have things that we do and decisions that we make that help build up other members of the church. You know, there's a profound effect by doing this. You know, we choose these things, these positive things, and they have an effect on God's people. Make plans when you choose to do these things and extend them. You know, find those things that bring you joy and then begin to cultivate those things. You know, make plans, set aside specific times that you may sit down and do these things. And these things can range from a broad spectrum, whether it's you enjoy calling ones who are maybe shut in to encourage them, to help them through their week, whether you sit down and write a card to someone, or whether you feel like actually sitting down and writing a letter, an encouraging letter to someone who may be having difficulties, whether it be health, whether it just be circumstances, getting to church. Sit down and start making plans and making it more a responsible aspect of your life. Maybe choose a day and a time that you would sit down. And then, as time goes by, you be motivated to extend that time. Maybe if you're sitting down for an hour, extend it for a half an hour, maybe 2 hours. And as you're ready, as time goes by, as you're ready, then maybe choose another day. Choose another time. And brethren, I can absolutely guarantee you that this experience will bring an inner strengthening. A strengthening that will enable you to overcome. And not only overcome, but to expand. At this point in your life, and again, as the scripture said, we all are different. We all have different things that we're motivated by. And some of us may have just one thing that we so enjoy that the Holy Spirit is drawing us to do. Some of us may have two or three. But the point here is that whatever those things are that the Holy Spirit's leading you to, begin honing them and cultivating them. And that's what's being talked about here in Romans 12. This is a building process. If you would, let's look at Romans 12, verse 15. Well, actually, let's look at Romans 9. I think this scripture is really important for us because this has to do with the way our mind is, the way our mind works. Verse 9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation." And what dissimulation means is insincerity. So let love be without insincerity. And if you're doing something that concerns others, there has to be a sincere heart. You know, you don't do things, you don't make choices to do things because it makes you look good. It's something that the Holy Spirit is leading you to. It's something that truly brings joy to your life. And you can be overwhelmed by knowing all the things that God expects of us. And what the incredibly important lesson is here is that by cultivating those things that God gives us, no matter how many, how small, or how large, that is how we grow in the Spirit. That is how we are able to overcome the things that we need to overcome. That is how we grow. That's the growth. Romans 12:15. It says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." Again, it's appealing to the heart, but how important is it as members in this church that we share, you know, this body that we're represented by is a body that's represented by the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us a body. And we read those scriptures about the bride. That's what that's all about. We are a part of this church. When people have reason to rejoice, we rejoice with them. And I think many of you this week, we've had some difficult news, and there's times that we weep. And when we have friends who things happen to, we weep with them. If you would turn over to the book of Peter, 1 Peter. First Peter 2. We're going to look at verse 5. And I chose this scripture because it ties the two things, those two foundational things that we should have, you know, those reasonable services, our share, because it ties those two together. So 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. It says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." That word where it says spiritual sacrifices, I know it may sound like almost things that may be difficult, but that's not what's being said. These things that I'm talking about, those spiritual sacrifices, are the things that we do because we love one another, because the Holy Spirit draws us to do things for one another, because it's a way that strengthens the relationships that we have between one another. Those are those rightly spiritual sacrifices. So brethren, we can make this vision of the church. And I hope that everyone goes to the church website and reads these things, because there's so much information. And I'm going to continue on with messages on this line. We have a great deal of messages that talk about the knowledgeable things, about prayer, which are also things that we should enjoy, which are also things that should motivate us. And fasting and study and meditation, those are all important things. We know that those are the tools. But we have to realize that that's not the only thing that will get us into the kingdom. Those are things that we need to be doing. Those are things that keep us spiritually strong. But there's also works involved. And no matter how small or how large or how many we have a responsibility to cultivate them. We have a responsibility to work with them. And we'll reap the fruits, because in doing that, we strengthen and we grow the Holy Spirit. which gives us the opportunity to attack and go after those big, those difficult things, the things that maybe we've been struggling with for years. This is a method that we can use to build and strengthen our Holy Spirit so that we can overcome those things one chip at a time. Now, some of us, we attack things, we have a chainsaw in our hand as a tree would be in front of us. And then others of us stand in front of a tree with a pocket knife. But the important thing is that whatever we stand in front of the tree with is that we're picking away at it and that we're trying to get that out of our system. And we're doing the things necessary to strengthen us to make it possible for us to do that. So, brethren, we can make this vision of the church happen. We just have to do our share.